Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations podcast. I'm Jeff Gamet. Today is Wednesday, August 20th, 2014, and with me today, I have once again my walking Wikipedia.
Good morning. Good morning, Dave.
Good morning. We haven't walked. We haven't gone anywhere. We're still just waiting here for you. So we're your waiting Wikipedia today.
My sitting and waiting Wikipedia. You know
That's
what?
Right.
I will take it as I can get it.
So you should.
For everyone playing along at home, the voices that you're hearing with me would be John Martellaro. Hey, John.
Hey, hey.
And Dave Hamilton. Hi, Dave.
Hello.
And it's awesome, as always, to have both of you guys here.
Nice to be
here. I know.
Yeah. I'm sure you do. Yeah. First topic I wanted to dive into today is something that just seems to come up all the time for Apple, like at least right now, several times a week. And this is the whole thing with analysts and pundits and everyone else building what I see as these massive tapestries from little threads. And they're trying to tell us exactly what Apple is doing with their product line and when new devices are shipping. And what brought this up for me today is the fact that there is a new report that came out from KGA Securities saying that the iWatch, which is still totally a rumored device, is not going to be released this year, but instead will come out in 2015 because Apple is having manufacturing issues. And I'm finding this very interesting because these types of reports are built primarily on analysts and other people talking with very specific people at some point in the supply chain. So they're getting one piece of information from one company and then building this big image, extrapolating out of that, this big image of what's actually or what they think is actually happening for Apple. And where we're standing right now is we know that Apple has an interest in wearable technology because they have said so. But we don't have any leaked parts. We don't have any photographs showing any components. We have surprisingly little information about the iWatch in this case. And yet here we have an analyst talking about how this product is a sure thing, but isn't coming into next year when everyone else is assuming it's coming this year.
So, you know, what I wonder about is how they think they can get the big picture from this. I mean, it's the height of arrogance to pick up a little bit and piece of information and then decide that you can see the whole picture as Apple sees it and make a sweeping conclusion. It just astounds me.
But it gets the page views, man. That's
right. Yeah. Right, mystery solved.
It also has maybe some agenda there, too, you know, of maybe manipulating.
About the page views. I don't think. I would like to think that the people, as unethical as it might be to troll for page views, it's both even more unethical and illegal to do this type of thing for stock manipulation reasons. So I don't think that's what they're doing. It's not working because the stock hit a record high price yesterday, or danced around a record high price yesterday when it broke through 100, which would be 700 split adjusted. But you know, what I would ask these people is to take a step back and look at the big picture that we have already been painted by Apple, where we've had multiple Apple execs, Eddie Q and even Tim Cook, saying that the product lineup for this year is the best in the company's history. So if you have your crystal ball and you are 100% certain that there is no iWatch coming, I then ask you, what is? Because Apple set themselves up for a massive fall in two ways, right? A massive yes. fall because that's the season in which we expect all this stuff to be released. But if they don't release it, that's a different kind of massive fall, right? So what is it if the iWatch is not it? And listen, Apple has confirmed nothing about an iWatch. So it might not be, right? But
right.
what is it? what's coming? What's the best lineup in the company's history? How do you reconcile that with this?
And combine that with Tim Cook's warning, as you mentioned in the pre-show, that these little bits and pieces of supply chain information should never be construed to be the whole picture.
Right.
And typically, in my view, what happens is that, and I wrote about this a couple weeks ago, is that when you have a high-risk production process coming out with a brand new product, you want to make sure that you've got error recovery, that if the one manufacturer is having a problem, then perhaps you can switch over to another manufacturer who can take up the slack and has maybe a better handle on the fabrication process. And so you might have several manufacturers lined up both to meet demand and to cover your bases if one falters. And typically if one does falter, there will be some sort of percolation up through the rumor chain that, you know, there's a problem. And then everybody goes, oh, it's doomed. It'll never ship.
Right. And, you know, I'm throwing out things that aren't even rumors. I'm actually making something up here. So I'll be clear about that. But, you know, Apple does have their own factory here in the U.S. where they're making the Mac Pro. There is no guarantee that that's the only thing they're making there.
That's
so,
a really good point.
I have no reason, no indication at all that Apple is making anything else there, but we also have no indication that they're not. So if there is a product that they really wanted to keep under wraps, it is possible for them to do so.
That's a great idea.
They could exactly that with the Mac Pro.
Correct.
Explain why we don't have any leaked photos of an iWatch.
Sure.
Right, or that the supply chain is telling us it's not coming because it's not coming from them.
Right.
You know, right. It's coming from a different place.
Now, was it Tim Cook or Eddie Q that said that Apple was entering into a new for them market this year? And I can't remember who it was, but one of them said that. And it was very clear. We're moving into a new for us market.
Yes, that's true.
Yeah, so, big fall, like you said, either way.
One way or another, yeah.
Yeah, and the moral of the story is just because we can get a single point of information out of the supply chain doesn't mean we can extrapolate the whole picture out of that.
Right? But one thing we should note is that the September 9th event, we think, is focused on iPhone 6 and iPads. And if there is no announcement of an iWatch on September 9th, that should not be taken as a failure, because I think everybody, at least most of us on TMO staff here, as I understand it, think that there'll be another event later on, maybe October, in time for the Christmas buying season, but not on September 9th, to keep these events distinct.
Yeah, so, and that's a consistent pattern for them too.
Can't read too much into what happens on September 9th regarding the iWatch.
Right, and keep in mind, we're talking about September 9th as if it's fact. Apple has not announced that yet, but they may as well have. Considering
why do you think they haven't? I mean, it's just so
because it's more than 10 days before the event.
There you go.
I mean, this is a pattern for them. So, try as I have to get any sort of confirmation, because I would love to, if I'm going to be invited, I would love to book plane tickets before they get really expensive and all of that stuff. That's not Apple's problem. That's my problem, right? But, you know, it would be nice to have some there's nothing. And I have talked to no one that has said, yes, there is an event coming that day. We heard one report from it was Recode, right? It was either Recode,
right.
It was John
right.
Pachkowski. It was a reliable, consistent source, but that's it. We've heard no one else has heard anything. So, you know, there you go.
There you go.
We're starting to see some pretty refined leaked photos of iPhone 6s now.
We are.
We're pretty sure it's in production. So by golly, let's get on with it, Apple, and do an announcement.
That's right. Take our money, Apple.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hey, okay. So the other thing I wanted to look at today came out of an announcement that Runkeeper made, which is And for people that don't know, Runkeeper is an application that tracks your walking and your running, and it lives on your iPhone, and you can sync it with other things, and it's a really great tool for planning your runs and your hikes and making sure that you're staying on track with your goals. So what they've done is they have announced that they're adding what amounts to ads to the app, and that's not something they've ever had before. But the way they're doing it, I thought was very interesting, because instead of just having little banners that appear, what they're doing is they're teaming up with this ad agency called Kip that handles in-app reward systems. So what happens is you hit a goal, like you've hit your time goal, your distance goal, or a weight loss goal, whatever it is, you're going to get a little pop-up ad that is an offer. It's a reward. So it will be offers for free products related to health and fitness or to technology in some way, there'll be offers for Propel water and discounts on Pebble watches, things like that. So you'll still be getting ads, but they'll be targeted as rewards. So some things will be free and some things will be discounts.
Hey, Jeff, are these rewards tied to your performance?
They are tied directly to your performance. So you have to meet or exceed goals that you have set for yourself before you see these. I just realized for some people that are lazy, they now have an incentive to not work harder because they may not want to see ads.
That's very clever.
But for everyone else, yeah, what an interesting way to present an in-app ad to us. And I find it really interesting because what we're seeing potentially is something where we're actually getting very relevant information that's presented to us in a positive way. And I'm really interested in seeing how I react to this as I set and hopefully exceed goals in Runkeeper.
I think it's smart. Native advertising, which is sort of what the umbrella that I will throw this under, is the thing that's becoming popular and has been becoming popular for a while. There are places where I think it will be a fad, kind of a passing thing. Perhaps the web will be one of those. Podcasts are a place where native ads are, and in podcasts, for me, a native ad is where the host does a read, obviously a sponsorship, but delivered by the host of the show, that kind of thing. There it's, it's been something we've been doing for almost 10 years, over 10 years, and is very successful. And I think this is another example of something that really has legs. This could succeed because it's relevant. It's content from the standpoint of what do I expect this app to deliver to me. It's not some irrelevant thing that actually gets in the way of the app. It's in the flow of what I use the app for. And presumably the ads and the perks, if you want to use the clout model, right? Mm-hmm. Presumably all of that are all of those things are relevant and desirable perhaps by the users of the app. I think it's great.
Dave, I don't know that these companies that are presenting the ads, when pressed, would say that they have a personal and strong interest and a stake in your health. But that could end up promoting that, in a sense, and set a stage for the future where people do that. Because after all, we've been exposed to a lot of products lately in our society that are not great for us, advertised heavily, and in a sense, we know that they could potentially harm us because of the ingredients and so on. So this sets a nice precedent in my mind for a company that says, hey, look, we're advertising this product because we're both going to win on this. Our product is going to help you, and we're a stakeholder in your success. So I like to see that.
Yeah, listen, advertising works. Interview anyone, most people anyway, and ask them if advertising works, they will say no. And they will cite examples of advertising that doesn't work. But everyone is wrong that says that, because clearly advertising works. Otherwise, we wouldn't know about any of the stuff that we buy typically, or any of the services that we use. The whole concept of marketing is something that absolutely works. It has always worked. It worked before we had computers. It worked to get computers into our homes, and now it works via our computers, right? And so, one thing that computers and the internet specifically has done is it's allowed people to get some sort of deeper metrics into the success rate or the perceived success rate of advertising. And that will continue to carry forward. It's somewhat flawed to look at things that way because it takes a lot of the impression, the branding value out of it, often, unless somebody's willing to do a very expensive study. If all you're doing is saying how many people clicked on my ad, that's a very rudimentary and flawed way to have an ad stand on its own. But it is relevant when you're comparing apples to apples. And so ads in the same app, if you say this ad gets responded to more than that one, that can be actually a good thing or a bad thing depending on your goal for the ad. But that will help trend the and show the success. And I can guarantee you that the ads that are more relevant and more targeted to what the users are doing are going to work better than the ads for things that are completely irrelevant. And so I think the people that are out there selling the ads and placing the ads are going to naturally select towards the things that bring them success, which hopefully means a win-win-win, right? Win for the advertiser, win for the consumer, and also a win for the app vendor because presumably they're getting a cut of the take.
Yeah, of course they're getting a cut of the take.
And I would hope so. Yeah.
And we're out of time.
Oh, sorry.
Nope, that's okay because it was really interesting. So I'm curious what our listeners think about this new spin on in-app advertising. So let us know. And you can leave comments in the show notes. You can head over to Twitter, TMO Daily, and do it there. And thank you to both of you for joining me today.
It was a pleasure. See you next time.
My pleasure. Thanks, Jeff.